மகாத்மியாம் பிருத்ய பிருத்யானாம் நிஸ்ரிஹானாம் மகாத்மனாம். Lord Shiva said, "My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Shiva, the husband of Parvati, told his wife, "My dear Parvati, you are very beautiful in your bodily features. Certainly you are glorious, but I do not think that you can compete with the beauty and glory of devotees who have become the servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Of course, Lord Shiva smiled when he joked with his wife in that way, for others cannot speak like that. "The Supreme Lord," Shiva continued, "is always exalted in his activities. And here is another example of his wonderful influence upon Maharaj Chitraketu, his devotee. Just see, although you cursed the king, he was not at all afraid or sorry. Rather, he offered respect to you, called you mother, and accepted your curse, thinking himself faulty. He did not say anything in retaliation. This is the excellence of a devotee. By mildly tolerating your curse, he has certainly excelled the glory of your beauty and your power to curse him. I can impartially judge that this devotee, Chitraketu, has defeated you and your excellence simply by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tarorapi sahishnana, just like a tree, a devotee can tolerate all kinds of curses and reversals in life. This is the excellence of a devotee." Indirectly, Lord Shiva forbade Parvati to commit the mistake of cursing a devotee like Chitraketu. He indicated that although she was powerful, the king, without showing any power, had excelled her power by his tolerance. Translation: Lord Shiva said, "My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness." Lord Shiva is considered the most super excellent of all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. His wonderful praise of the glorious qualities of the devotees is a very important guiding light for the lives of all of us. To praise and to glorify those devotees who have dedicated their lives in the service of the Lord is the very heart and soul of the true devotees, because they know that nothing will please Krishna more than hearing the glories of his devotee sung. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he would praise his devotees as if he had five mouths. And when he would hear other devotees extolling the glories of devotees, his bliss would know no bounds. So today we have a great opportunity to show our appreciation for special devotees who have come to our temple from the far-off land of London, England. At one time, India was controlled by London, and the people of India were basically brainwashed to believe that anything from India is third class, and anything from the West is first class, and anything from London, the ultimate abode of the West, is supreme. Srila Prabhupada told us that when he was young, he was taught by everyone. It was the general policy that London is like Swargaloka. It is like the spiritual world. Anything from London is the ultimate. In fact, they even arranged all the differences in time. It's all centered around what time it is in London. Still it is like that, I believe. Of course, what the British did when they came to India was just to exploit the resources, the material resources. They tried to somehow or other indoctrinate everyone to think that their culture, their religion, their philosophy, their lifestyle, their everything was third class. Their idea was to simply exploit and to convert. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw that the people of India were so desperately trying to find independence from the British, he considered that this is just another form of illusion. The British are in the illusion that they have conquered, and the Indians are under the illusion that they are conquered, but they are all the various bodily concepts of life. In fact, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in 1922, Abhay Charan, he was an advocate of this non-participation movement to try to get freedom from the British rule. And the first day when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati on the rooftop of 1 Ultadanga Junction Road, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would give Chaitanya Charitamrita class every night under a beautiful jackfruit tree. And Srila Prabhupada came to meet him with his friend Narendra. And after bowing down, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati looked upon them and said, "You are intelligent young men. You should take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spread them throughout the world in English language." And Srila Prabhupada, he presented the point of view that who will listen to us if we are dependent on the British? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati discarded this argument as simply an illusion. All of these physical, national, racial distinctions are Maya. There is only one truth, that we are all the eternal soul, part of Krishna. And to surrender to Krishna is the only true goal of life, which can bring real freedom, real liberation, and real happiness. As long as we are bound by the shackles of the bodily conceptions of life, we must suffer. Ariyatmaka, aridaivaka, aribhautaka, the threefold miseries of material existence. And we are ultimately simply meant for death. But to free oneself from this false ego and realize our eternal glory as part and parcel of Satchit Ananda Krishna, that we are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, and that can be experienced, that bliss, when we simply surrender to the enjoyment of Krishna, to being the servant of Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent three of his principal sannyasis to London. His idea was to conquer London, not by economic manipulation or by wars and armies, but by truth, through preaching the message of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. But Maya is very strong in that place. Even these three sannyasis who went, and one other very, very learned scholar, they did something, but not much. So Srila Prabhupada sent six of his disciples, all grihasthas, and he was very happy when he saw that the young people of Britain were rejecting the whole Western materialistic culture, and they were accepting defeat. They were actually surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. That Indian culture had now come to conquer London. So this was very glorious. Prabhupada was very anxious to get a temple there. And with the help of his devotees and some well-wishers, a temple was in downtown, and a beautiful estate, which was later named Bhaktivedanta Manor, was developed in a village just close to London. Srila Prabhupada would spend weeks and weeks at a time there. He was so happy that his Guru Maharaj's dream had been fulfilled. There was a wonderful center in England. He translated his books there. He preached there. He directed affairs throughout the world of his society, often from that place. It was called Bhaktivedanta Manor. Beautiful, beautiful abode. And he himself, with his own personal hands, installed the deities of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. He performed the Abhishek. He performed the first arti. And one of the most beautiful and blissful photos, as well as video footage of Srila Prabhupada, is him dancing in ecstasy at Bhaktivedanta Manor in front of Radha Gokulananda in London. But we should know, whenever something is a threat to Maya, to the agents of material nature, there will most definitely be retaliation. And that retaliation, Srila Prabhupada said, is a very good sign. He said, if they are not fighting back, if they are not attacking us, that means we must not be preaching vigorously. Because when you challenge Maya, Maya has to retaliate. And the more you challenge, the greater the threat, the more her agents will become afraid. So I guess it was about 10 years ago, the people of that area, they somehow manipulated the government to make an ordinance to close any public worship. Tens and thousands of people would come for festivals like Janmashtami. And it was closed. And the devotees could have just said, yes, it is Krishna's arrangement. That's what Arjuna was also saying. Krishna, why should we fight this war? Let Duryodhana enjoy his kingdom. But Krishna said, no, you must fight for me. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to be like soldiers and fight for Krishna. And if we die in that battle, that is glorious. We go back home, back to Godhead. In fact, Srila Prabhupada taught us, if you have nothing in your life that you are willing to die for, then you have nothing to live for in life. So the devotees very, very fearlessly took up a campaign. A campaign to challenge the entire nation and the government that upheld that nation. And there were so many reversals and so many difficulties, and this battle went on for how many years? 12 years. And finally, this year, victory was offered at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gokulananda. And some of the principal devotees who fought that great war, who put so much of their hard-earned money, so much of their time, risking their reputations, taking so much time away from their families and businesses and everything else, they made their first priority in life to fight for Krishna. So we are very, very grateful to have this opportunity to welcome and honor these great personalities who have done such immense, wonderful service for our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and for the whole world, the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Manor. We'd like to ask Shruti Dharma and Pranabandhu to please stand up. Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu. Would you like to sit here, please? No, you sit. Please come. How many devotees have come with you? To mention all the 60 names will take long time. So we would like all the devotees from England who have come to bless us to please stand up. Everyone, please.
I'm very shy.
Why don't you start by standing then everyone else? Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Haribo.
Request all those that have come with us to stand up.
Sri Radha Gopinath. Thank you so much for your wonderful association. Pranabandhu Prabhu, you. Sometimes to surrender is very embarrassing. But this wonderful story we are discussing is proof that before Krishna makes something wonderful, he first puts his devotee through a great test. It is our sampradaya. If you don't want to be tested, then you will not make spiritual advancement. After all, Srila Prabhupada, before establishing ISKCON, he went to Jhansi and he worked a whole year trying to establish a center. And somehow or other, he was just kicked out of the center. And he was left with nothing, a year's work, nothing to show for it, materially. But Krishna acknowledges eternally whatever a devotee does in his loving service. And later he came to Vrindavan and he was writing, and somehow or other, with his desire to go to America, he came to Bombay, and again and again and again he was begging and pleading and trying to persuade people to give him passage on a boat to America. And finally, and on the boat, the Jaladuta, there was seasickness. There was heart attacks, so many tests and tribulations. And he was in Butler, Pennsylvania, and nobody took interest in anything he was saying. He had to live with people eating meat. And then he went to New York City, and practically a whole year went by. He was asking his godbrothers in India, send me some karatal, send me some mrdangas, send me some devotees, send me some money to build a temple. This is an international movement. It's Lord Chaitanya's movement. But no one sent him anything. And sometimes he would go to the harbor in New York and look at the boats, watch them. He would see the Jaladuta sometimes going back and forth and thinking, maybe I should go. But no, I must stay. I must do this service. At one time in a loft, there was one hippie who somehow took some interest in Krishna consciousness. And this was the best lead Prabhupada ever had. He was thinking, now we could make this little loft into a center. He had to walk up so many stairs just to get to it. It was in the Bowery, the ghetto of New York. And he wrote to some of his godbrothers in India that I have finally found a sincere soul, and it appears we're going to be able to start the first Gaudiya Math temple in the West. And then one day that person was on LSD, and he threatened Prabhupada that you have stolen my soap, I will kill you. So Prabhupada had to leave that place. And he had nowhere to go, and no one to turn to. So he spent a year like this. But he was determined. And ultimately, because he passed that wonderful test by Krishna's arrangement, now there are over 300 centers all over the world, hundreds and thousands of devotees, millions of books, wonderful projects. So that is our sampradaya, to struggle for Krishna. And we read in Srimad Bhagavatam all these great devotees, how they struggled to show their love for Krishna. When Bhaktivedanta Manor was first put under attack, it was a wonderful center. But since the attack, by the wonderful devotion of all of these devotees we have seen today and others, now it's what, about 5 times more land than it was? Huh? 6 times more land than it was. They raised so much money, beautiful private road, incredible facilities for expansion. The fruit of sacrifice. This is how a devotee must see everything. A devotee welcomes reversals as an opportunity to increase his service to the Lord. So while we are on this subject, we will continue our narration from last night. If you remember, Vritrasura, this terrible, terrible demon, was just killed by Indra. And Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami that Vritrasura, his prayers were the prayers of a Paramhamsa, a pure devotee. To be a pure devotee is very rare. In fact, in this material world, there are as many living entities as there are atoms. And of all these living entities, it's very rare to even get a birth of a living entity that can move and can make sounds. Most living entities are inanimate, like vegetables and trees and rocks. And of those who have animate bodies, it's very, very, very rare to get a human birth. And of those who have the human birth, practically everyone is simply trying to become like animals, enjoying sense gratification. It's very difficult to find anyone who's sincerely trying to follow religious principles. And of those who follow religious principles, most people do it because they want another type of sense gratification. And out of thousands and thousands of such persons like that, it's very difficult to find even one who aspires for liberation. And out of such persons, it's very difficult to find one who has attained liberation. And out of millions and millions and millions of persons who have attained liberation, it's very difficult to find even one pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudulabha prasantatma koteshvapi mahamuni. This verse was spoken by Maharaj Parikshit in this particular story. Because only the pure devotee of Lord Narayan can be really peaceful. Because he is the only one who has no selfish motivations, who has no contaminations in his heart. So how could a body of a demon who's fighting in the battle against the demigods, how could he have the sentiments of such a rare, pure devotee of the Lord? Please explain this to me. And Shukadeva Goswami began his narration, continued his narration. He described how once there was a king. His name was Chitraketu. And he was the king of the entire planet Earth. And he was such a pious king, he was actually a devotee of the Lord, that he ruled everything and everyone according to Krishna's direction, as was coming down through the great Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And therefore, his whole kingdom was flourishing. Every part of the world was prosperous. There was plenty of rains, there was plenty of food, there was no poverty. What a difference between then and now. Srila Prabhupada explains, because all the prosperity of the world comes not by our artificial endeavor to improve the situations, but it comes when Krishna is pleased. Anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyana nashambhavad. Living beings subsist by food grains, and food grains are born of rain, and rain comes from performance of sacrifice. Sacrifice to Vishnu. So when there was proper piety, devotion, and spiritual activities, and the Lord and His servants, the demigods, are pleased, everything is given in abundance. So it is the first duty of a king to make sure every citizen is performing the proper conduct according to the Varnashram Dharma, and sacrifice is being performed for the pleasure of the Lord. Maharaj Chitraketu had beauty, incredible beauty, like a demigod. He was very learned. He had complete education. He had tremendous wealth. The whole world was at his disposal. He was very strong, and he had powerful armies that no one could challenge. He was famous. All of the citizens bowed before him and loved him and wanted to serve him. Citizens would love to pay taxes in those days. Just like we wait for a letter coming from someone we love, they would wait for their taxes, because they knew it was a reciprocation of love between the citizens and the king. And they knew whatever we give will only be used for the highest purposes, for everyone's welfare. Like a cloud, it will take the water from the ocean, and then it will pour it down on the land to grow food. These days, nobody likes to pay taxes. In fact, most people don't even pay the proper taxes. Everyone is... Any accountant, the best accountant is the person who can teach you how to legally cheat. This is what I have heard. How to get away with as much cheating as you can without being put in jail. Essentially, that's what it means. So, Maharaj Chitraketu, he had beauty, knowledge, strength, wealth, fame. He was detached. He had all opulences, but he was very miserable. Why? Because he had no son. He married a wife tried to have a son, no son was born. He married another wife, soon he had so many wives. And not a single one of them could give him a son. This is the way of material world. You can make every possible arrangement and be successful in all your endeavors, but if one thing goes wrong, you'll be miserable. So what is the use of trying to be happy in a world like this? We have seen big, big rich people. They make billions of dollars and all of their ambitions are fulfilled, and then their son dies. Or they get some disease, and they cannot enjoy anything. It is all useless. You might as well be just a beggar in the street eating chapatis than a multi-billionaire who can't even eat because of all of the aggravation and anxieties in his life. So Maharaj Chichaketu was a personification of how material life can never bring real satisfaction. You may think you're satisfied now. Sometimes we meet people when we are preaching Krishna consciousness, and they say, why should we take this? We are happy. Govinda Das says, your happiness is like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus. How long will it remain? You say you are happy, but one thing goes wrong, and you'll be miserable. One little thing happens, and all that you're enjoying now will be meaningless to you. And it will happen. It is just a matter of when. So he was so sad. At that time, Angira Muni, who was directly born from the mind of Lord Brahma, he came to the kingdom. And Maharaj Chitraketu, knowing that this man is a great Vaishnava and a great sage, he honored him. He washed his feet. He brought him food, he brought him water, he glorified him with sweet words. Because in those days, the big powerful leaders of the state understood that the real great persons are those who have dedicated their lives in the renounced order. Even Krishna himself came off his throne to honor and worship Narada Muni. After being worshipped by the king, Angira Muni asked Maharaj Chitraketu, is everything all right? I see from your face that you look very miserable. What is the problem? Srila Prabhupada explains, the face is the index of the mind. And a saintly person, just by seeing a person's face, can understand what is in his mind. That's why some people don't like to show their face to saintly persons. Maharaj Chitraketu explained, everything is perfect in my kingdom. I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm beautiful. All my subjects are obedient to me. All my ministers are faithful. My wives are nice. They're beautiful, they're lovely, they're chaste, and all my wealth is secure, but I have no son. Therefore, I cannot enjoy anything of this world. I'm simply a miserable person. So please, Angira Muni, please grant me the benediction that I may have a son. So Angira Muni replied, yes. You will have a son. Angira Muni performed a yajna to Tvashta. And from this yajna, there was some kheer, sweet rice. And he said, you give this to your principal wife, and from this a son will be born. But let me tell you this, this son will be Harsha Kshoka. He will give you jubilation and lamentation. So Maharaj Chitraketu was thinking, oh, very good. Every son gives some lamentation. Maybe he'll be naughty. Maybe he won't be so disciplined. But at least I'll have a son, so I'll be very happy. So soon his wife, one of his wives, her name was Krita Dyuti, she became pregnant. And the child began to grow. And on an auspicious day, a beautiful, beautiful son was born. And the whole kingdom throughout the world was celebrating. King Chitraketu has a son. And when you don't have something, when you finally get it, you become excessively attached to that thing. That is just human nature. When things are readily available, we take it for granted. Familiarity breeds contempt. But when you really, really have to long for something and wait for something and work for something, when you finally get it, you just become so attached to that thing. So you can imagine how attached the king and his queen were to this son. Their whole lives were simply revolved around this son. But the other queens, they were miserable. Because that is also the law of nature. What gives one person happiness gives another person distress. Just like in politics. One party wins and they're having festivals and the other party loses and they're just weeping and sobbing and cursing. In athletics, one team wins and one city is celebrating and the other team loses and the other city is just in distress. Or in business, if one company makes a lot of money, another company is losing money. In war, one nation wins, one nation loses. So anything you do in this world, one person's going to enjoy from it and another person's going to suffer from it. If you join the Hare Krishna movement, all the devotees are in ecstasy and the parents usually are miserable. And if you leave the Hare Krishna movement, as they say, bloop, then the parents are having festivals and the devotees are miserable. This is the nature of the world. So King Chitraketu and his queen, they were so jubilant, blissful, just to see their son, to hear his broken words and his crying. It was so sweet. But the other queens were thinking that now King Chitraketu is paying so much attention to our co-wife that he is neglecting us. And they were envious because they had no son. This is also the characteristic of human nature. When you have, the more you have something, the more people will envy you. They will burn with envy for you. Like fire. And yet we're thinking people are impressed. You get a Mercedes-Benz, you think, oh, people are impressed. And they will, when they see you coming, they will go, namaskar. But in their heart, they're just thinking, that nonsense. Puffed up, proud person, I should have that car, not him. I will wait till he dies, then I will take it. Nobody likes when you get something good, they just get envious of you. Out of social formality, they may say, oh, this is very nice. A woman puts on nice jewelry and nice decorative clothes, and all the other ladies say, oh, you look so beautiful. But in their hearts, they're thinking, I should have that. What right does she have to have such a nice dress? Sannyasis hear a lot of things. It's all in the scriptures. But it is confirmed in daily life. If a person becomes very learned in the scriptures, somebody else, some other person is thinking, why is he so learned in the scripture? I hope a rock falls on his head and he gets amnesia, then I will give a better class than him. Isn't this true? How many agree that this is human nature? So what is the use of trying to excel in this world? The more you excel, the more people are envious of you. Your happiness is someone else's distress. So the queens were so envious. It was just burning and burning and burning in their hearts, and it was just getting worse and worse and worse. Every time the king would look affectionately at the sun, affectionately, it would just burn them deeper because they had no son. And every time he would smile at his principal wife, it was just becoming more intolerable. So finally they had a conspiracy. And when you become too much envious, or too much lusty, or too much angry, or too much proud, or too much greedy, you lose your intelligence. So they gave poison to the child. And the child died. Harshashoka. And the mother was thinking, oh, my child is sleeping very nicely today. Very sound sleep. But after some time, she told her nurse, please bring my child to me. So the nurse went to the child and tried to wake it up and saw its eyes were rolled up in its head and was no breathing, no heartbeat, no pulse, no sign of life. So the simple maidservant, who she loved the queen and the king so dearly, she just fell to the ground. She said, now I am doomed. And the queen came running. What is this? And she saw her child dead. And she just, out of utter distress, she just fell to the ground unconscious. And every time she would come to conscious, she would just weep and cry, her heart just broken in innumerable pieces. And soon everyone in the palace, who were the faithful servants of the king and queen, they were all weeping and crying, and the news came to Maharaj Chichaketu. And he became literally blind due to distress. He couldn't even see. And he was trying to somehow or other come to that room where the sun was lying. And he was slipping and falling and slipping and falling, and his ministers and aides were trying to pick him up and lift him and carry him. And finally he came and he fell at the feet of the dead corpse of the child and began to weep and lost all consciousness. And when the queen saw how distressed her king was upon seeing her son in this condition, her distress became even worse. And when he saw that her distress was becoming worse, his distress was becoming worse. This is the reciprocation of the material existence. And the queen began to cry out, what is the use of a god if this happens in life? If you say that this is happening by our karma, then what do we need a god for? We'll just live out our karma and suffer. But if God is the supreme controller and he doesn't control in a good way, then what is the use of his controlling? So in this way, she was chastising God for allowing this to happen due to ignorance. And when Maharaj Chichaketu, and she was calling out to the sun, please speak to us. We yearn to hear your sweet words. And I want to give you the milk from my body. It's waiting for you. Please come. And your friends, your playmates, they're waiting. Wake up. She was like a madwoman. And Maharaj Chichaketu, seeing his queen like this, he fell deeper and deeper and deeper into the abyss of suffering. He couldn't do anything. He could not rule his kingdom. He could not enjoy or appreciate anything in life because his son was dead. At that time, Angira Muni returned, but this time he brought Narada Muni. And they came into the chambers of the king, and they began to preach. Angira Muni told him, I told you he would be Harsha Shoka. He would give you happiness and lamentation. He said, actually, according to your destiny, against your destiny, and you begged me for this, I gave it to you. But it was not meant to last. In fact, I wanted to preach to you about pure devotional service to Lord Hari. But you were so much longing and yearning for such a materialistic thing as a son that you couldn't listen to my words. But now you are completely disgusted with material existence. You're fried with material life. So this time I brought Narada Muni to preach to you. Because now I think you'll be able to hear what is the truth. And Narada Muni began to preach. And he explained to Maharaj Chichaketu how, according to our natural destiny, so much happiness and distress will come into our life due to our previous karma. But we should know that just like in the river, grains of sand sometimes are brought together and sometimes separated. Similarly, all the meetings and separations, all the happiness and distress, all the successes and failures, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, all these dualities only pertain to this body, which is meant ultimately to die. But we are not these bodies. We are the eternal soul. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are meant to enjoy ecstatic bliss. Therefore, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can transcend the bodily conception which is the source of all miseries. And then Narada Muni taught him a mantra of praying to the Supreme Lord, and he said, if you chant this mantra attentively for 7 days, you will see the Supreme Lord Shankarshan, a great expansion of Lord Krishna. And then Narada Muni, by his great powers, he began to speak to the dead child. And he said, dear Jivatma, please wake up. Come back. And then the son got up. He rose from the dead. And Narada Muni said, why have you left your parents in this way? I give you the blessing that now you could remain in this body and you can become the next king of the world. And the son began to speak. You are asking me why I left my mother and father behind? Please tell me, who is my mother and father? I am an eternal soul. I am not this body. And in this material nature, this soul has been traveling through so many species of life. I have traveled through plant life and aquatic life and insect life, reptile life, bird life, beast life, through so many human existences. And in each one I have had a mother and I have had a father. And I had mates and brothers and sisters and friends and colleagues. Where are they all now? When you ask me why I have left my mother and father, which mother and father are you speaking of all the millions and millions that I passed through? And he explained that in this material world, these designations are simply a great illusion. And the more we become attached to the objects of these designations, the more our illusion perpetuates, and the more our bondage and attachment and suffering increases. Anyways, the little child spoke so many wonderful words of wisdom, which culminated in the ultimate solution to the problem of suffering is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Chichaketu and the people of the court heard the teachings of this child, they all became enlightened by the mercy of Narada Muni. And then they had the funeral ceremony for the child, and they were all completely detached. And the queens that murdered the child, they felt terribly embarrassed and began to repent. And they inquired from the Brahmins, what can we do to atone for this offense? And they went to the bank of the Jamuna, where they fasted and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains that in this world, so many people are killing their children. Even within the womb of the mother, they are killing the children. And he said, if they do not atone for that offense, anyone who has in any way ever participated in such slaughter of human life, they will have to suffer terribly, birth after birth after birth. Therefore, he said, everyone should join this Krishna consciousness movement. And how do we atone for this offense? By never doing it again. That is the first thing. And by worshipping the Lord, by chanting his holy name. So Maharaj Chitraketu, being completely detached, he began to worship the Lord and chant the mantra, praying to the Lord, singing his holy names, and fasting on the banks of the river Jamuna. After 7 days, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing right before his eyes. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When your eyes are anointed with the salve of love, you can see Krishna. By the grace of the spiritual master, if we follow his instructions by chanting the holy name, it is just a matter of time till we will see Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, face to face, as we are seeing each other, we will see Krishna. And this beautiful incarnation of Shankarshan had a wonderful white complexion. And he was wearing beautiful blue garments and had wonderful crown and jewelry decorating himself. And Chitraketu began to weep in ecstatic love. He was not able to speak. But after some time, by the mercy of the Lord, he offered beautiful prayers. And the Lord blessed him with pure love of God. He also made him the king of the Vidyadharas, which is a heavenly race of transcendent, of divine persons. And being the king of the Vidyadharas, he could live for millions and millions and millions of years. And he was endowed with all the 8 mystic perfections. And he has given an airplane, a beautiful little airplane, where he could go anywhere in the universe within a matter of seconds. Not like Air India or Jordanian Airlines or British Airways. So many troubles. Planes are late and all kinds of jet lags, just to get from one place to another. It's so much trouble. He would just chant a mantra and his airplane would just immediately take him. Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Mount Sumeru, anywhere he would just go. But wherever he went, because at that time he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he was performing his duties as the king of the Vidyadharas. Everywhere he went, he was immersed in chanting the holy name. One day during his travels, he came upon a very unusual darshan. There was a gathering of all these saints and sages. And many of them were sannyasis and babajis. They were in the renounced order of life. And right in the center of all of them was the greatest of all the yogis, Lord Shiva. And he was giving a lecture on detachment from material enjoyment. But as he was speaking, Chitraketu Maharaj noticed that his beautiful, beautiful wife, Parvati, was seated very nicely on his legs, and with his arm he was very affectionately embracing her while talking about detachment. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigena Bujai. Very difficult to understand Vaishnavas sometimes. So Maharaj Chitraketu, upon seeing this, he didn't criticize, but he was struck with wonder. What is this? Mahadev is the king of yogis. He's the greatest detached person. And yet he's speaking these subjects and he's embracing his wife. Ordinary people will embrace their wives privately, but not right in front of all yogis and sages. This is not proper. Why is he doing like this? He's such a great soul. He has mastered all the mystic powers. He's the greatest devotee of the Lord. But yet he is behaving in this way. And it is explained that actually, in one hand, Chitraketu Maharaj wasn't criticizing. He was just so astonished to see it. He just had to say something. On the other hand, because what a great person does, common people follow. Yad yad acharati stes tas tad tad evetarojana. Maharaj Chitraketu knew absolutely full well that Lord Shankar is above and beyond the modes of material nature. He is a transcendental purified Paramhamsa. But yet, if such a great soul, who's the guru of all yogis, he's one of the great gurus of all living entities, if he's behaving like this, then all kinds of unqualified people will think it's all right to be embracing women. So Maharaj Chitraketu spoke quite harshly in his amazement. And when Lord Shiva heard these words, he understood Chitraketu's glory. So he simply smiled and remained silent. And all the sages and yogis who were all Shiva's devotees, they also smiled and remained silent. Now, if he was speaking offensively, all those devotees would have held their ears and said, Vishnu, Vishnu, Shiva, Shiva, and they would have ran away. They would not have tolerated it. But the fact that they silently smiled, they knew that Chitraketu was just speaking these words. But it was actually a glorification, but indirect. But Parvati, who was the chaste and faithful wife of Shankar, she became intolerably upset. And she began to chastise Chitraketu Maharaj, that you are declared to be a great Vaishnava, a devotee, you are the lowest amongst beings. You are the most fallen of the Kshatriya class. Who do you think you are to criticize Lord Shiva? Lord Brahma, Sanat Kumar, Indra, all the greatest of the gods, they worship the feet of Lord Shiva. If he was doing something wrong, why wouldn't they come and say? Why they glorify him? Do you know better than them? Are you putting yourself on a higher position than Brahma, who sits on the lotus flower born of the navel of the Supreme Lord Vishnu? You are puffed up. Because you have darshan of the Lord and your so-called great devotee, you have become proud and now you are offending great souls. Therefore, I curse you to take birth as a low-born demon. This was her mercy. Srila Prabhupada explains that one must be very careful against offending Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada explains, although Chitraketu was such a highly advanced, learned soul, still, even One can even become a little proud of being a highly advanced learned soul. Therefore, there is one formula that will always protect us from all dangers on the spiritual path. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sehishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. To feel oneself more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. In this way we could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. When we offend the Vaishnavas, that is the first and most dangerous of all offenses to the holy name. And when we offend the holy name, the power of the name will not be there to purify our hearts. So therefore, through this wonderful story, we understand whoever we are, whatever our position is, even spiritually, we must very diligently and carefully adhere to this instruction, the golden rule of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. To be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to offer all proper respect to others and expect none in return, and thus to chant the name of the Lord constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Maharaj Chitraketu understood that he made a mistake. But he understood also that what Parvati had done to him was ultimately the will of the Lord. So he came down off of his airplane, and with folded palms, he bowed down at the lotus feet of Parvati and addressed her as Mother. My dear Mother, it is by the arrangement of Providence, due to my past karma, that I have been cursed to become a demon. I cannot blame you. It is my fault. But please know that I was actually trying to glorify your husband. I did not mean an offense to them. That you should know. But nevertheless, you have cursed me and I deserve it. And therefore, with your permission, Mataji, I will now go and become a demon. This is a Vaishnava. Even the most terrible injustice was performed to him. A misjudgment of his character. But he accepted it as the arrangement of the Lord with humility and devotion. Tatenukampam susumikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam. Bhagavatam says, and this was one of our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada's most famous and favorite verses to quote, that when one is put in terrible tribulation, and in that condition, with folded hands, and a bowed head, and a grateful heart, thanks the Lord, I deserve much worse. Let me go on chanting your name and serving your lotus feet. Such a person alone is fit for liberation. Maharaj Chitraketu was the embodiment of this principle. If he was not cursed by Parvati, we would have never heard of him today. He would have just been another great king. So many great kings. But because he took that curse, a great reversal, and accepted gratefully the body of a demon, even millions of years later, we are being inspired by his wonderful devotional attitude. When Lord Shiva saw how grateful Chitraketu was to receive the curse of Parvati, he himself began to glorify this devotee. Actually, the Acharyas explain that Chitraketu Maharaj had all powers. He had powers even beyond Parvati. He could have counter-cursed her. If he wanted to, he could have counter-cursed Parvati and put her in a terrible situation. But he did not counter-curse, nor did he even request her to take back the curse. He welcomed it as the mercy of Krishna. Not as the act of Parvati, but the mercy of Krishna coming through his agent. And Shiva, upon seeing the wonderful display of this pure devotion, he spoke this verse that we are reading today. My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Narayana parasarave nakutashtina bibhyate swaraka pavaraka narakeshu apituliyartha darshanaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never feel any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. After Lord Shiva praised the wonderful humility of Chichaketu, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains how Parvati became very embarrassed and started hiding her face in her sari, that she had cursed this great sage. And with great love and humility in his heart, Chitraketu entered into the body of Vritrasura, the king of the demons. Go Premanandi! But even though he was a demon, he could remember everything of his past life. And he did his duty, his swadharma, as a demon. But he did it all as an offering of pure unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understanding it to be the will of the Lord. And it is explained, why did Lord Vishnu want to put his devotee in the body of such a terrible demon? Several reasons. One is, being the king of the Vidyadharas means his lifespan was going to be for tens and millions of years. But Krishna wanted him to come back home, back to Godhead, because he, such a devotee, he wanted in Vaikuntha. So just to haste his return back to Godhead, he put him in this body of a demon. Just so he would, within a few days, be killed by Indra and then come back to his original form and spiritual world. And also in order to show the world the glory of the devotees. We find through the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam so many wonderful, wonderful stories describing how devotees, they take the most unfavorable situation and make it into the most favorable situation. How? Through devotional service. Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashya. Krishna always protects his devotee. Therefore, a devotee is not afraid of reversals. Rather, he becomes enlivened and encouraged, knowing here is my chance to fight for Krishna. And if I simply do this with a faithful heart, not attached to victory or defeat, simply attached to Krishna seva, then Krishna can transform what appears to be something negative into something greatly, greatly positive for the ultimate upliftment of humanity and Krishna consciousness. Bhajahure mana sri nandana abhaya charanarapindare. Devotees are not afraid of anything. because they have faith in the mercy of Krishna. And they have faith that nothing is inauspicious where the sound of Krishna's name is being chanted. Nama Sankirtanam Vishnu Jagan Mangalam Anghasam. Wherever Krishna's name is being chanted and remembered, all auspiciousness is there. However it may appear to our gross senses, it is all auspicious because Krishna appears and is so pleased to appear wherever we gather together to chant the holy names. Bhaktivedanta Manor Leela is a very wonderful exhibition of this wonderful story. It is. Someday perhaps it will be contained in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And at that time we will be thinking that we met these wonderful characters of. We would like to invite Pranabandhu Prabhu and Shruti Dharma Prabhu to say some words to us, if they so desire.
Jnanadivirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmashi Gurave Namaha. First of all, we would like to thank all the Vaishnavas here at Chopati for the hospitality we have received. Maharaj has been speaking about the battle at Bhaktivedanta Manor and given all the glory to us. But usually he was speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam. But usually there are many additional stories to add onto the main story. So the real story is that actually the battle for Bhaktivedanta Manor was won because of all the Vaishnavas throughout the world. It was the effort of everyone together, and especially we would like to thank here in Bombay, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, who sent many delegations, and the other Vaishnavas that worked with him. We are deeply, deeply indebted for the efforts of all the Vaishnavas here in Bombay. Actually, whilst we were involved in this battle, as it often happens, we were many times dismayed because we had lost so many public inquiries, and so many times the temple was about to close. The credit for winning this great battle actually was the temple president, Akhandari Prabhu, who led the army. But he has often told me and said that actually the battle took on different direction when two great Vaishnavas came into the battle of Kurukshetra, as we would say. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami. It is because of their inspiration. But inspiration is one thing, but physically they actually came to England so many times to assist in this battle. And they actually gave the Vaishnavas at Bhaktivedanta Manor the strength to continue to fight. And their desire was very much that somehow we should save Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the desire of pure Vaishnavas is something which is very, very powerful. As we know, in 1963, Srila Prabhupada was walking to meet Srimati Muraji, and he saw one paddy field, and he desired, this would be so nice if a temple of Krishna was here. This was just his desire. And Krishna manifested this desire many, many years later. And from Shama Sundar Prabhu we hear how Srila Prabhupada, when he was visiting in this area, his desire was also, it would be so nice to have a temple here in Chopanti. So when the pure Vaishnavas desire, Krishna makes all the others instruments to fulfill that desire. And very much these two Vaishnavas empowered all of us to become instruments in winning this battle. And how they empowered all of us, their association, but as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Sarup Damodar Goswami, he speaks of Tina Mahabal, three very powerful substances to empower any Vaishnavas. Bhakta Pada Duli, Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashish, Tina Mahabal. By regularly visiting us, they empowered us, the Bhakta Padaduli, dust from their feet, the water that has washed their feet. I was just thinking that Maharaj was speaking about England earlier on. When Srila Prabhupada was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, His Grace Tribhuvanath Prabhu told me one story. He said, how powerful is the dust from the lotus feet of pure Vaishnavas. Whilst he was walking, Srila Prabhupada, around the manor, one cat was following him around, trying to reach him. And all the devotees were shooing him away. But somehow, this cat ran past all the devotees and sat at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So the devotees tried to remove this cat, and Srila Prabhupada said, no. And Srila Prabhupada took off his slipper and he placed it, his foot on the cat's head. So then the devotees carried on. The next day, the devotees reported that Srila Prabhupada, we have found that cat. It has passed away, it has died. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, he was a great yogi and he wanted to return back to Godhead, but he needed just some dust from my feet. And again in London, there is the story in the Leelamrita that when Srila Prabhupada was staying first at John Lennon's estate, when he was leaving John, he was not so happy at the end, staying, so he decided to go. And when he was leaving, he stopped at the gate and he touched all the trees and the plants. He was touching all the plants and trees. So the devotees who were there were bewildered. Srila Prabhupada came out of the car and he was touching the trees and plants. And then Srila Prabhupada got back in the car and he drove off. That same night there was a great storm. And many of the plants that Srila Prabhupada had touched were uprooted. So the Shamsunda, he told Srila Prabhupada that he had gone back to John Lennon's estate and many of those plants were uprooted. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes. He said, by the association, just a fraction, those plants have obtained liberation. So we can see that actually ourselves, we can become great instruments by these substances. Bhakta bhukta ashish, and the remnants from the pure devotees. Ramanuj Acharya, in his life, when he was sitting with his disciples and taking prasad, one crow it came and it took some remnants from Ramanujacharya. And when it ate this Mahaprasad, it fell into the lake. And all the disciples were looking. And from the lake arose a four-armed form of Vishnu. And it was going back to Vaikuntha. So the disciples were so pleased. But at the same time, they were very disappointed. They said, Guru Maharaj, we're taking your remnants every day. But still we only have two arms. So Ramanujacharya said, when we take the remnants of pure devotees, if we take without offense, then it has immediate effect. So somehow at Bhaktivedanta Manor we knew the secret that in order to re-energize the troops we have the two Vaishnavas. So we must seek these Tina Mahabhal, these three powerful substances. So by, as Srila Prabhupada would say, hook or crook, we went and stole these items from the two Maharajas, and this empowered everyone. And just a few people could defeat the whole British government. So we can say, actually, we were the instruments, but the real credit is going to Radhanath Maharaj and Bhakti Charuswami. I've already said too much. I'll request Pranabandha Prabhu to say something.
Hare Krishna. Sri Rama Prabhu has said everything that there is to be said. I would just again like to thank on behalf of our whole British Yatra. Actually, the 12-year struggle, when Radhanath Maharaj and Bhakti Chiruswami came into the battlefield, certainly our troops were re-energized, because before that there were a few casualties in the battlefield. Some people had lost faith that why is Krishna doing this to us? You know, I mean, after all we're trying to do is to save the temple. Why is Krishna doing so much, giving us such a hard time? I remember how we had one protest march just about 2.5 years ago. And that protest march was the largest single gathering of Hindus outside India. Over 40,000 people gathered in London at the Houses of Parliament to protest to the British government against the closure of the manor. And Krishna played a tremendous trick. According to British law, according to British broadcasting law, you will never be allowed to... We were actually asking everyone to become a little bit disobedient, civil disobedience, asking everyone to attend demonstrations and rallies. That is not allowed. You can't go on radio doing that. But actually, for 3.5 weeks before that march, Krishna simply put plugs in the ears and covers over their eyes, that we were able to actually fill the whole radio, our airwaves, with asking people to please come and attend the march. That is Krishna's potency. And about 4 weeks later, the same radio station said, excuse me, how did you ever get away with that? You know, how did we ever get away with telling everyone to become civil, to join the civil disobedience like? So this is one of Krishna's potencies, that he simply covers the materialists and allows the devotees to get away with so many different things. So I'd like to also thank Akhandari Prabhu, that despite all our 10 years, 12 years of struggle, unfortunately he had not been able to come with us. But certainly without his tremendous effort and a wonderful general, I think I just simply want to thank him very much for pushing this entire army in the right direction and bringing us to this victory. So after that, thank you, Rath Maharaj and Bhakti Chira Swami, and the blessings of all the devotees here. Thank you very much indeed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It is the trans Vaishnav qualities. I only pray that you accept all of us as your humble servants. Let us give joy to our wonderful visitors by having a joyous kirtan.